In this episode, Ken Schumann and a group of faith walkers reflect on the topic of boundaries. This conversation was originally recorded in January of 2021. We want to remind you, Faith Walking's mission is to make wholeness possible for individuals, communities, and the world. Visit us at www.faithwalking.us. Join this conversation.
Today, group, I'm going to hopefully this will kind of all flow together. I'm going to be a bit all over the map. I had an experience this week that triggered some things in me, and it takes me a while to process through things. But then once I process through and get really clear, man, I'm really clear and I'm ready to preach. And so today, what I want to do is I want to share a piece of my own transformational journey. That's a component. I want to do a little teaching, coaching with you about some faith walking principles as I'm trying to apply them to my life. And I also am going to end up doing a little preaching. Okay. Sometimes you can take the preacher out of the pulpit, but you can't take the preaching out of the preacher. That's a new saying. And just share some things from my heart. So where I want to start is, and to you that are from the UK, I want to say to you, I can't help but talk from out of my experience here in the US with everything that's going on politically for us. So last Wednesday was a really big deal. And just the things I'm hearing, the things that I'm hearing from other quote unquote Christian people is disturbing me quite a bit. So I'm trying to get clear about what I'm feeling right now. And what I'm feeling right now, these are some of the things. I'm angry and I'm frustrated and I'm disappointed and I'm anxious. There's probably more that I am, but those things are for sure there. Here in the US, we're living in a time probably as great as anything I've ever experienced with of polarization, where we're just like divided in a big way, and I also realize that even in our faith walking community, we have people in both camps. Okay. And so I want to acknowledge that. That's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. But I also want to encourage us to practice our faith walking principles and to follow the way of Jesus in spite of whatever we believe. What I want to say to you, folks, and I believe this deeply, my first allegiance is to Jesus. I think that's what it means to be a Christian. I think that's what it means when we pray, "Thy kingdom come." We're saying, "God, my allegiance is to you. My allegiance is to your kingdom." And so I want you to know, I'm not a Democrat and I'm not a Republican. I'm neither one, and my loyalty is to neither one. And so I want to say this accurately. And I want to continually remind myself that Jesus is my leader, that political parties, political affiliations, even presidents aren't my leader. Jesus is my leader. So I'm a follower of Jesus and I pledge my allegiance to his kingdom. And I want to make that really, really clear. In our country today, I've already said we're highly polarized, and our current president, you either love him or you hate him. It seems like it seems like there's no middle ground, and it's okay whichever way you are. But because of the polarization, it has generated enormous anxiety. So we're in the midst of a battling a pandemic, and we're also here in the U.S. In the midst of all of this political stuff, and it just has generated enormous anxiety. I've heard and seen things, but I read an article this week where a fellow was writing about the polarization and the talk of, you know, that there's been talk of civil war, that there's going to be a civil war. And his take was, no, we're not going to go there. But his take was, but what where we're headed and where we already are is to be a nation of cutoff. So if you're in faith walking, you're familiar with that language. If not, cutoff is when we get so anxious in a conversation with someone that sees it different than we do, that we just can't be in their presence. We can't talk to them anymore. And we just cut the relationship off. And what he believes is that we are increasingly becoming more and more cut off from one another. Well, in faith walking, we say, well, that's one of the ways we react out of anxiety. We react with distancing emotionally and physically that ultimately ends in cutoff. And what I want to say to you is, and I don't want to cut off. I don't want to distance. And yet, when I get anxious, I do. So now I have to tell you a story. This week, y'all may or may not know, I don't remember how much I told you. One of my hobbies is I play Texas Hold'em poker online. Okay. I don't gamble. I would. I'm not opposed to it, but you can't here in the States. So I play for free. And there are people all over the world that play. And I have a regular group of people that kind of gather at my table. So there's multiple tables you can get on. And there are regular people that get on my table and play with me. And some of us have been playing for years together. Okay, so it's a nice community, come from all parts of the country, all walks of life. And I already know there are a whole lot of people that come to my table that don't believe the way I believe. Well, this week, a couple of nights ago, I come, get on the table. I'm looking forward to a night of relaxation. It's kind of mind numbing for me to play poker. And two or three of my friends start, their acquaintances start gathering at my table, and politics came up. And they began to, a couple of them began to be really adamant in their beliefs about something that are 100 degrees different than what I believe. And so instantly I got anxious. Now, normally when I get anxious at the poker table, I just kind of, I distance and just don't say anything. I just say, okay, I'm going to let it go. But I'm making progress in saying what is so for me. Y'all will know that phrase. And so I began to say what is so for me and say, you know what? I see that really different than you do. Now I didn't do it very well. And looking back on it, I am both shocked and I'm disappointed at how much anxiety I had, how much my anxiety overwhelmed me, and how quickly it overwhelmed me. I really want to be more emotionally mature than that. And in that moment, I wasn't. So I said a couple of things. And as soon as I said it, I got moderately attacked. So I simply said, okay, you know what? I'm not going to talk politics at the poker table. I'm out of here. Boom. And I left and I was gone. And I stayed mad for about an hour and a half after that. Okay. So I'm just telling you the facts and the truth. And when I was able to calm myself, I was really disappointed that I couldn't do better. And I can give myself all kinds of excuses, but the truth is we are where we are in our level of differentiation and emotional maturity. And one of the things I say related to faith walking and related to applying all these principles, everything is practice. Everything is practice. And practice is not about becoming perfect. Practice is about making progress. And when I'm really honest also, I can congratulate myself that I made some progress. I spoke up. And in the past, I haven't spoken up. But on the negative side, I can also say, and you know what? It wasn't my best day of practice. I didn't practice that well. But that doesn't mean I'm a failure, and it doesn't mean there's something wrong with me. So my temptation is to shame myself when I don't show up the way I want to show up. And so I didn't shame myself. So as I've processed it since then, I know, and by the way, I want to have conversations with people who see the world different than I do. So what's my best thinking? Remember, we talk in faith walking about rather than reacting out of my anxiety, I want to respond based on my best thinking. And so I began to think through, okay, how do I want to show up? And I've got three little things that are helping me. I want to continue to say what is so for me. I do not want to back away from saying what is so for me. This is what I think, and this is what I believe, because every one of us get to have that opportunity. You get the opportunity to believe whatever you believe and say, this is what I think, and this is what I believe. So I want to continue to do that. Second thing is, I want to develop the capacity in my life to have calm conversations with people who see things differently. So I want to continue to say what's so, but I don't want it to be a hit and run. You know what a hit and run is? That I throw it out there and then run for cover because I don't want to hear there. I want to engage in calm conversations. I want to develop that capacity, and I'm not there yet. And the third piece is really crucial for me, but I also want to maintain clear boundaries. And by boundaries for me is what's okay and what's not okay. So with my friends at the poker table, there are two things I would say. What's not okay is for me to offer an opinion and then you attack me. That's not okay. It's not okay for you to bully me or beat me up. That's not acceptable. And if that begins to happen, then I will distance because I'm not going to tolerate that in my life and recognize boundaries are part of differentiation. And the other boundary is I'm just going to declare next time, the minute it comes up, I don't believe that the poker table is the appropriate place to talk about politics. And I come here to relax, and talking about politics isn't going to help me relax. And so if the group of you want to talk politics, you get to. See, everybody gets to be differentiated. You can talk politics, but I'm not going to stay if you're talking politics at the poker table, because for me, that's not the appropriate place. And so those things got really clear for me, kind of some guidelines, and not just with the poker table, but with people that I meet every day also. Okay, I want to be able with every person that I know to say what's true for me and what I think and believe. I want to engage in conversations with people who see it different, and for it to be okay for people to see it different. But I also want to have the capacity to maintain boundaries. And all of those things are about growing in my own self-differentiation, which is a key piece of what we teach in faith walking. So let me pause there for a moment. Because it feels like this is, because I got quite a bit more I want to say. Let me just pause here and say, okay, is that stir up anything that you want to say to me or you want to talk about for a minute? Judith?
Yeah, because it came up in my mind. I have a group of dinner friends that I have dinner on Zoom with every Friday night. They're faculty that I've known for years. And there are some, much like your poker table, there are some one and maybe one and a half with whom I disagree politically often, one that's more outspoken than the others. And last Friday, we got into a discussion. I was listening. I did not want to partake in it because it was causing anxiety. And after a while, I jumped in and I said, you know, this is dinner. Maybe there's another topic that would be more soothing for us to discuss over dinner. And a couple of the women with whom I'm very close and who I agree with politically said, but we're enjoying this conversation. This is feeding us. Mm-hmm. And I thought, oh, so how do we set boundaries and not walk away from relationships? I mean, can I set a boundary that I'm not going to participate in that conversation, but still enjoy the presence of my friends without having to cut myself off? So mm-hmm. I guess that's my, mm-hmm. it's kind of a question.
Yeah. And in my understanding, Judith, I would say as long as you're doing what you're doing based on your best thinking, then of course it's okay. So if my best thinking is, you know what, I'm just going to say, I'd prefer to talk about something else. They all say, hey, no, this is life-giving for us. We'd like to talk about it. Okay, then I'm willing to stay here because I love all of you and I don't want to miss out, but I'm not going to join in the conversation because it just makes me too anxious. So see, I'm taking responsibility for me in that. Or I might say, you know what, that conversation just generates so much anxiety in me, I'm not going to be able to stay. So I'm happy that y'all want to talk about it. I would prefer y'all talk about it at another time. But if you want to talk about it here and now, then I'm just going to excuse myself. So again, neither is right or wrong. It's me saying, what can I do in the moment? How can I manage myself in the moment? That makes sense?
It makes a lot of sense. And yet when I hear it, I think it makes it sound, well, if I prefer we not talk about this and I'm going to leave, but you can keep on. It makes me feel like that would make me look like a sore loser. That manipulative in a way. Well, I'm going to go if you don't talk about what I want.
Right.
And so I know that it would have to be in the right tone of voice and the right wording in order to have it come across appropriately.
Right.
But it also could go very badly where it sounds like, well, you know, I'm trying to manipulate you to get my,
right.
What I want.
I totally get that. And not every person understands boundaries. And if they don't understand boundaries, they will attack you for having a boundary. Okay. So we have to, I think the key thing for me, boundaries are about me taking responsibility for my life. So I'm not worried about the group. What I'm worried about is me taking responsibility for who I am and what I'm willing to do and what I'm not willing to do. And it's not me pouting and it's not me saying, being manipulative. It's me saying, okay, this is my request. All right. And the group says, and now we're not going to, we don't want to do that. Okay. Well, I'm going to do something else. So let me make it a little more simple thing. So y'all may not have any of these problems, but there are moments in my life with my wife and my girls who are both adults and don't live with me anymore, where when we're all together, we have a hard time deciding what to eat. And so and it's just fast food. Okay, we're just going to go get fast food. Well, do you want McDonald's? Do you want Whataburger here in Texas? That's a big thing. Do you want Chick-fil-A? You know, and everybody wants something different. Well, how do we decide? Do half the group? So think in terms of, this is where my wife and I have gotten in. I think I've shared this with y'all before. So if I go to a place that I already know my wife doesn't want to go and I want to go, what I say is, all right, I'm going to go here and get this. What I'm willing to do is to also go buy Jack in the Box and get two tacos for a dollar, because I know you like two tacos for a dollar, and I'll go both places. And then we're so see, all of that though is me taking responsibility for myself. It may be, you know what, I'm not willing to go get tacos. So boundaries are about, they're about growing in our maturity to say, this is what I really am willing to do. So boundaries are about what I'm willing to do, what I'm not willing to do, what's okay with me, what's not okay with me. And I think this is a deep lesson that I would teach y'all. I don't want to act like I'm an expert, because I'm not. But what I'm learning about boundaries is this. The only way we can truly be self-sacrificing is when we know, when we create a boundary, that saying no is okay. All right, that didn't sound very clear. So let me try to help you with that. So by the way, no is the one word boundary. Would you be willing to do this? No. That's a boundary. I don't need, and by the way, no is a complete sentence. I don't have to explain. But boundaries are about the capacity. So this is boundaries 101, is the capacity to both tell people no and have them tell me no. So I can say no, and I can also be told no. And when I know that I can tell somebody no, then I can say yes, even when I want to say no, and it becomes a gift of love. Okay? So if I say no and think, oh, they're going to get mad if I say no, and so then I say yes just to make them happy, that's a lower level of emotional maturity. Okay? But when I know, okay, if I tell them no, that's going to be okay, then I enter into that realm. And what I found in my own life is I spent a whole lot of my life saying yes out of immaturity, saying yes just to keep the group happy, just to keep everybody happy, without saying, you know what, I really don't want to do that. I really don't want to be here. So I'm sorry. Hopefully some of that was helpful, Judith. Thank you for the question. It was a beautiful question.
Yeah. What Karina. Judith, oh, sorry.
Who? No, go ahead, Brenda. And then Karina.
On what Judith said when you were talking about how do you get away from a conversation without hurting the other person. I mean, I've been up against that this week as well. And mm-hmm. I literally, what I found effective is I will just, if I feel too anxious, I'll just say, you know what? I can't do this right now. I can't visit this right now. We can have that conversation maybe a little bit later. Mm-hmm. You know, and mm-hmm. kind of putting off. And that has seemed to really work to not offend some of the people that I've had to deal with this week, including family members, you know.
Yeah.
Even at one point where I actually had to get real stern and say, when they kept pushing, I said, no, not right now. I'll talk about this tomorrow. And we actually scheduled a time to discuss it, and everything was okay.
Yeah. And Brenda, and so think about that. That's like calling a timeout when I get anxious. You know what? I'm too anxious to talk about this with a level head right now. But I want to say something else that's really important, I believe. So as we grow in our differentiation, we learn that we are not responsible for the feelings of another person. They are responsible for their own feelings. Okay. So we, especially as Christian people, we spend a lot of our time worrying about, oh, I'm going to hurt their feelings or their, you know, what if I'm not responsible for their feelings? Whew. I'm telling you, folks, I spent the vast majority of my life worrying about how everybody felt and spending enormous energy trying to keep everybody happy. And when I finally began to understand boundaries and realize boundaries are not that I, so boundaries are about what am I responsible for and what am I not responsible for? I'm responsible for me. I'm responsible for what I say. I'm responsible for my own feelings. I'm responsible for how I behave. What I'm not responsible for is you. I'm not responsible for what you think. I'm not responsible for how you behave. And I'm also not responsible for what you feel. And that's just really, really big. So yeah, exactly, Brenda. Thank you for sharing that. Karina.
Yes, I was just wanting to bring up the topic of disappointment, you know, because after you left, you were talking about how disappointed you were. And, you know, God is not disappointed because he knows where what we're going to do. You know, our stuff, our junk is not a surprise to him and he loves us. So at what point or how did you process that disappointment to get to the point where you were you recognized that you had a legitimate need for peace when you exited the conversation?
Yeah. I'm not sure I can describe the whole process, Karina, of how I did that. One of the things I want to say is I process things kind of slowly and really deeply. Okay. So what I would say is I processed it on and off, not constantly, but just random thoughts on and off for a couple of days. What do I think about this? What do I believe about this? And what's my training and teaching? What's all my faith walking? What are all my faith walking tools teaching me? And one of the things was that idea about everything is practice and it's just a day of practice. And that helped me then, and understanding this idea of shame, which is about not being enough. And you know what? This has nothing to do with my enoughness. Yeah, I wish that I were more emotionally mature than I am. So it was just the process of remembering and thinking about all those tools, reminding myself of what I really believe is true. And all of that then calmed me and said, okay, and now who do you want to be? How do I want to show up now?
And so you moved away from that feeling of disappointment.
Yeah.
Is that right? Okay.
Well, let me say this, yes and no. Okay. You know, in my head, I did. But in my heart, I still wish that I was further along than I am. Okay. And so I can live with both of those realities. I wish I was further along, but you know what I believe? I'm practicing, I'm working, I'm applying the principles. I'm doing my best to become a more emotionally mature person. And you know what? And I'm going to give myself grace. Here's another thing that I say often that I want to remind you. It's a faith walking principle. All you can do is the best you can do today. Yeah. You can't do any better. And so if I'm giving my all, if I'm doing the best, you know what? The other night, the best I could do was to leave the table. And the best I could do was say a couple of things. This is what I think and believe. Then my anxiety got so high, I had to leave the table. Well, guess what? That was the best I could do. Now, next time I might be able to do better. But in that moment, at that time, that was the best I could do. And so, you know what? I don't beat myself up for doing the best I can do. Do you understand what I'm saying? I think that's really powerful. I think we must give ourselves grace and compassion in order to be on this journey, or else we'll give up and quit. And one of the things I think, I don't know, maybe it's in everybody, but it's particularly in Christian people, is that we're so anxious to get to the finish line. whatever the finish line is. And I would say in the finish line of, I want to be spiritually and emotionally mature. We're so anxious to get to that finish line that anything short of that, we just beat ourselves up about. And I don't think that's healthy, because this side of whatever the next life is, we're not going to be perfect. So can I keep, so it's living in the tension of, I want to keep challenging myself to be more, while I also want to give myself grace to just be who I am. Dawn?
Yeah, I just wanted to say something about doing the best we can do. And I think that grace is for us, as you're saying, and others. But I guess I also feel like lots of times judgment comes when we think others are not doing their best. And that little mindset of changing the way that you look at others and saying, you know what, they're doing the best they can. That's the best they can do. Right. I think that takes a lot of judgment off right off the top and just allows for more, more unity.
Absolutely, Dawn. No doubt about it. And recognizing most every other person is full of anxiety also. And maybe they haven't been through this wonderful program called Faith Walking and gotten all these magnificent tools that help them manage. And that's the best they can do. And you say, well, I'm disappointed that that's their best. Okay, well, I'm disappointed that my best is what it is too. So again, we offer grace to everybody. Yeah.
And having developing an understanding of emotional maturity as well. It's just, instead of like, I find myself not thinking so much in terms of black and white, like that's a bad person or that's a good person or that's a jerk, but it's like somebody who's just not there yet. They're not very emotionally mature. They're showing signs of, anxiety, whatever it is. And having a lot more awareness of myself in that regard helps too. I'm still plenty judgmental, a long way to go, but I think it really does help to think those things through in those moments.
Angela, I'd really appreciate it if you'd quit judging me, okay?
Oh, you're at the top of my prayer list.
I know.
I mean, our relationship is so fraught with difficulty, you're at the top of my prayer list.
Yeah, Ken, I just want to relay this to you. I think I may have spoken about it, last year, but a friend of mine, a Christian lady, and I didn't recognize the fact that she was suffering from pretty severe PTSD. Mm. And she was hurting people out of her own hurt. I mean, big time.
And yeah.
She didn't want to hear anything from anybody else. All her head was a minefield, trying to navigate it was dreadful. And she couldn't hear what you were saying. She could only ever hear what she felt.
Yeah.
And it got to the point where I had to close down all the avenues of communication because she was hurting me badly. And it's something my son does to me too. So that sort of triggered that in me. And I thought, no, I'm going to have to close down communications. Didn't make me feel good about doing that, but I did it. Except for she could knock on my door or she could write me a letter, but all technical communications closed down. She eventually came back to me, but I can see she's trying to work through this. Mm-hmm. She's still not in a place of hearing. And she wants to be my friend. And the last communication I had with her, I said, a friendship has to be based on many things, but it's got to be based on respect and trust. And I asked her to hear my heart and she wouldn't. Out of her own fear, she didn't want to hear my heart. And I said to her that, you don't trust me enough or respect me enough to hear my heart. And you're already surmising in your head what I'm going to say. But she wasn't even hearing that, and she came back to me again and she said, the Lord has told me to make peace with you. because I was disgruntled with you because you'd cut down the, you know? And so I wrote to her and I just felt, have I pussyfooted around? So I thanked her for everything that she'd sent me and the nice comments. And I'd said to her, if you want my peace, you have my peace. I'm at peace. I love you. And I said, and I look forward to a time when you and I can renew our friendship, but I do not believe that time is now.
Mm-hmm.
I said that to her and I said, mm-hmm. it would be such a time when hearts are held gently and listened to. Mm. And then you will understand why I had to close down those avenues of communication. And mm-hmm. I blessed her and sent her my love and I told her that she was in my prayers. But I didn't say it will be a time when you will listen to my heart, you know, but I just mm-hmm. felt she's going to receive what I've said and she's probably mm-hmm. going to take that in the wrong way anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But I very couldn't. Possible. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I could not not say that because I didn't want to mislead her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I feel bad about that.
I feel bad
that I had to say that.
Hmm. Yeah, but what you did, Mags, was create a boundary.
I know, yeah.
You can't, we can't be good friends if you're not open to hearing me share my heart.
Yeah.
So if you're closed off to that, then we'll never, now, I look forward to the day and the time when you'd be able to receive my heart. Yeah. And when you're able to do that, then we can continue. But for now, it's a waste of time to continue as it is. So I love it all. And you don't have anything to feel bad about.
Mm. Thank you. I just, it's this not being responsible for her feelings and that's yet it. Sitting with it thinking, I want to make this, I wanted to get the message, but make it as soft as I can.
Yeah. And I think you did that. I think you did it in a loving way. And so here's another key teaching point, folks. We're all over the map in faith walking principles today. But one of the things that it takes to grow in our own emotional maturity is we have to increase our capacity to tolerate discomfort in people we love, their own emotional discomfort. Okay. And so, so the thing I would encourage you about, Mags, is don't beat yourself up, don't feel guilty, but also just what you did was, okay, I'm increasing my capacity to tolerate her emotional discomfort. I know she's disappointed. She may even be upset with me. I'm not responsible for that.
Yeah.
So I think you did great.
Bless you. Thank you, Ken. I've written down when you first started talking, turn up the best you can on that day, because mm-hmm. that's what came to me. You mm-hmm. were doing the best you could. And mm-hmm. You talked about being compassionate to yourself in a way, you know, giving yourself a bit of slack. And I think that spoke to me too. So, yeah, I'm not responsible for her feelings. Thank you.
There you go. Bless yeah. you. Thank you. May I turn the page here? We'll come back to this and we can go as long as you want to. I've got a little extra time. I really want to preach my sermon before I'm done. Okay. And I'm really going to shorten it. I promise you. So you said something in that, Mags. You said she was going to make up a meaning in her head.
Yeah.
So folks, when we get anxious, we make up a meaning in our head. And we say it in faith walking, and it's not original with us. We are meaning making machines. And it gets me to where I wanted to go. And that is this. There are a lot of folks making up stories in their head right now about all sorts of things. And so I want to speak to that. To manage our anxiety, we have to, one of the key components is we have to quit making meaning in our heads and we have to gather the facts. So one of the rules of the game for me when I hear anybody speak, left, right, liberal, conservative, Republican, Democrat, anything else, is show me the facts. I'm not going to believe what you're saying until I can see some proof. And I want to invite you, don't believe anything without the facts. So what are the facts? What's really true? Let me prove, and not made up facts that somebody dreamed up, but real facts. And I realize we're living in a day and time when everybody's talking about fake news, left or right. So how do we know? Well, we've got to do the best we can to find the facts, if there are facts, and base our beliefs on the facts. And I want to say this. So in my pondering this week, I came up with something that I think is pretty good. And it's this: the facts are what we believe, what we believe on. And by the way, all of us behave based on what we believe. So everybody in the world they're showing up in the world and behaving based on what they believe. So let me get the facts, if there are facts to be gathered. Well, what happens when there aren't any facts to be gathered? Well, when there are no facts, then guess what? We move into the realm of faith, right? So I can't so I believe there's a God, but I can't factually prove there is a God. I can show you all kinds of things that point toward God, but I can't say, okay, here's the factual proof there is a God. And so my belief in God is an act of faith. So when there are facts to be gathered, gather the facts. First principle. Second principle, when faith is involved, here's what I believe, folks. What I believe is that the Bible clearly teaches me that Jesus is the human image of God. Okay, so I'm a Trinitarian. I believe in Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I believe that Jesus, that God said to the world, you aren't understanding me. You aren't understanding my way. Through all the written material you have, it's not good. So I'm going to show you in a person. And God showed us his character in his son. So for me, when there are no facts, then this is what I do. Then everything else gets evaluated through the lens of Jesus. What do I know about Jesus? What do I believe about Jesus? What does the scripture say about Jesus? And how does whatever this other thing is, how does it align with Jesus? Okay, I started out at the very beginning saying my allegiance, I have one leader and my leader is Jesus. I believe we've got to filter everything through him. I believe we have to filter all of scripture through him. I think all scripture is about him. And so we have to interpret scripture, whether it's Old Testament or whether it's the epistles. We interpret the Old Testament, we interpret the epistles through the lens of Jesus. If you understand what I mean. And mostly Jesus is about love. When asked what's the greatest of all the commandments, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. So this week, and by the way, what's the Bible say about Jesus? In John 14, verse 6, Jesus says of himself, I am the way, so follow my way. I am the truth. So if you really want to know what God is like, look at the life of Jesus. So this is what I believe, and you may believe different, and that's okay. But what I believe, folks, because most of my life I was taught that scripture, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, no man comes to the Father but by me, is about how to gain eternal life by believing that Jesus died on the cross for your sins. I don't think that's what that verse is about. So you can go look at it sometime. What I really believe that verse is about is Jesus saying, my way is the way, and my way is the truth. And so if you want to know truth, filter it through me and my life and my way. And when you do, guess what's going to happen? It's going to give you life. We talk in faith walking about the fully alive life. Well, that's the fully alive life. The fully alive life is when I align my life with the way and the teachings of Jesus. And when I do, then that sorts everything out. So for me, that's what sorts everything out. Whether I follow a human leader or not, I always look at that human leader through the lens of what I believe about Jesus, because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And it's interesting. So this week, I'm about to wrap this up, but this week, so I went to 1 Corinthians 13 and I began to look at the love chapter of the Bible. Okay. Written by the Apostle Paul, and tucked in the middle of the love chapter is this little phrase. And I'm going to give you my paraphrase after doing the word studies. You know, I'm a word geek. Is Paul writes and says, love does not celebrate injustice, but love celebrates in the truth. So the greatest commandment is love. I want to learn love. Love does not celebrate when people are treated unfairly and unjustly. So what I believe about Jesus, folks, is that Jesus, who I believe reflects the image of God, is about the well-being and wholeness of every human being, not just the human beings that believe right. That's what I believe. And so when I evaluate anything, I want to evaluate it through the heart and the lens of Jesus. Monday's Martin Luther King Day, and in honor of Martin Luther King Day, I'm learning to appreciate more and more one of Martin Luther King's quotes when he says, the arc of the universe bends toward justice. And justice is about treating people rightly and fairly. And so I think I've shared with y'all at another time, my paraphrase of the Beatitudes, but I want to read Matthew 5:6. So blessed, happy, satisfied, and fully alive are those who long for everyone to be treated justly and fairly. Those who desire everyone to have enough and no one to be afraid, for they will be satisfied as they take action and make things happen. Amen. Now it's time for the altar call.
And the offering.
We'll do that later, dear. The altar call comes first. Yeah. So that's what I believe, folks. And I believe this journey for truth is really important. And I really do believe all of that. So I try to discipline myself to say, I'm not believing anything until I get some facts. And when it comes into the faith realm, when there are no facts, then I want to evaluate everything I believe, do, and how I be based on the life and teachings of Jesus. That stir up anything new for anybody?
Ken, can you repeat that, what you said, when you used your words, love does not rejoice. What's that?
Yeah. Again? Yeah. Love does not celebrate injustice. So the scripture says, use the word rejoice, and the word rejoice can mean to celebrate. So I don't celebrate when there is injustice,
right?
But love rejoices in the truth. That's the way most of you have heard that verse. So love celebrates when we really get to the truth. And Jesus says he is the truth. Okay. So love celebrates when almost it's held in tension with each other. Jesus' love is in opposition to injustice. When people are not treated right and fair, that word injustice could also mean dishonesty or unfairness. Love doesn't rejoice when people are treated unfairly, but love rejoices in the truth.
I don't know how valid this is, Ken, but the thought that came to my head was that we can stand before the Father because we're covered in the blood of Christ, because we're covered in his righteousness and the mm-hmm. Father doesn't see our sin.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about looking through the lens of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Does that then give us opportunity to look through the eyes of Jesus, the lens of Jesus, that others who we would normally run a mile from or condemn,
right,
that they could come and we could be with them without being critical or without judging and just loving
mm-hmm.
and being that witness. There's no answer to it, I suppose. Yeah. But that's what came to me. That's what got stirred mm-hmm. up in me. You know, through all my sin, I can stand in front of the Father and I can call upon the Father's love because Jesus suffered for me. And mm-hmm. that was his sacrifice. So if he can do that for me, why can't I do that for other people? Why can't I be gracious?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. As always, this group is fantastic and I enjoy being with you.
For more information about Faith Walking, visit www.faithwalking.us. We want to remind you that Faith Walking exists because of your financial support. Please consider giving at faithwalking.us/donate. Thank you for listening.